septic tank issues. This is one of those times of year where they're just the busiest that they could ever be because of the holidays, because people make mistakes in the holidays, because, you know, for the most part, we don't think enough about, you know, about doing the precautionary stuff. Let Roto-Rooter, when things do go wrong with any plumbing, let Roto-Rooter take care of it for you. Proudly owned, proudly operated by proud Clemson alumni here in the upstate of South Carolina. It is my friends at Roto-Rooter. Roto-Rooter can be there 24/7. You know, we got college football playoffs, this weekend. Doesn't matter. They don't care. You get some basketball this weekend, whatever, some golf this weekend. Nah, they don't. It doesn't really matter to them. They don't really care. Roto-Rooter wants to help you out. Let them be a part of your solutions at rotorooter.com. Mr. Orr 24, hour number two. Hope everybody's well. Looking forward to a great hour here. Let's get back to our phone calls. Delvin's been hanging on our Northern Communication phone line, 654-ROAR. Hey, Delvin, thanks for being very patient with us. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How you doing this morning, man?
Man, we're blessed. Looking forward to a great one.
Yeah, a couple things. First, when you're talking about East Carolina, the hot name you're talking about is Mike Houston and James Madison. We actually got two jobs out there waiting for him because Charlotte is also in the job. And that's why East Carolina, they put because they want him. If you were Mike Houston, which job look better to you? And you know, I always ask you this on Friday, what's going to be the key for Clemson tomorrow? And I know you're busy, so take my call.
Thank you, Delvin. That's very kind of you. Yeah, have a great weekend, man. I always appreciate you calling in the show. If given a choice, I just think you go with the bigger and the better job. I think East Carolina, you've been able to win in the past. You've won bowl games. You've been able to do some things in the past. So I think East Carolina is a better job than Charlotte. Charlotte still, you know, hadn't done anything. Bigger conference, better conference. I think East Carolina is that job. The to-do list tomorrow for Clemson, offensively, I think that Pittsburgh's going to force your hand. I think big plays. I think Clemson's going to. They'll drive it and be patient. But I see Pittsburgh, if they're true to form, and if this is a true Pat Narduzzi defense, they're going to come after you. And they don't have the skill to hang with you. So I would expect some big plays, and that, in the form of T. Higgins, Justin Ross, in the form of Hunter Renfrow, in the form of Darion Kendrick, and Hunter, you know, and Amari Rodgers. I'd expect big plays in the passing game. Big plays from Travis Etienne as well. Maybe a feature, maybe a choice in there as well. So I would expect big plays. You know, don't turn it over. The little things. When you're 25-point underdogs, don't turn it over. Stay healthy. Don't give up the punt return, the kick return, the block, you know, the non-offensive touchdowns. Defensively, they're going to show you a lot of motion. They're going to show you a lot of formations. They're going to show you a lot of stuff to try to get you misaligned. And, you know, they'll try to exploit some of that. Power running game is still who they are. I would say first downs are very important for the Clemson defense tomorrow. Second and six, second and five, second and four, that wouldn't be good news for Clemson defense. That's what Pittsburgh wants to do. And I would make Pickett, you know, perfect scenario is make Pickett throw it rather than, you know, when he has to, rather than, you know, when they want to offer some play action off of it. First down is a big key for Clemson's defense tomorrow. 654-ROAR, Northern Communication phone line. Orange and Wright is in Anderson. Good morning, Orange and Wright. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, Miggy. How are you guys?
Man, we're good. We're great.
Good. Miggy, me and my brother were going over the coaches who have won national championships that Dabo has beaten. And we counted up eight coaches that he's beaten who have won a national championship. Now, we left Paul Johnson off the list because his national championships were in Division II. The only other coach I think that might get close to this year or be in the same ballpark would be Nick Saban. So those two coaches are in rare air right now. But what I was wanting to mention is if North Carolina follows through and they do hire Mack Brown, then Dabo can probably add that to his list next year as well.
I started thinking about this when he was hired. You know, South Carolina and North Carolina. I mean, South Carolina and Clemson play North Carolina next year. South Carolina and Charlotte. Clemson's got to go to Chapel Hill. It's going to be weird going to Chapel Hill again and seeing Mack Brown on the sidelines. All right, so you said eight. Dabo beat Nick Saban. Two would be Urban Meyer. Three would be Jimbo Fisher. Four would be Les Miles. Five would be Bob Stoops. Six.
Gene Chizik.
He beat Gene Chizik. I totally forgot about that. That's exactly right. Gene Chizik won a national championship. Gene Chizik is six.
Bobby Bowden. You got that one?
Yeah, Bobby Bowden. Yeah, forgot about that one.
All right, let me read my list to you right quick.
Okay.
Bobby Bowden, Steve Spurrier,
Spurrier,
Wes Miles, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Bob Stoops, and Gene Chizik.
How about that?
And Urban Meyer.
Yep, and you'll add Mac Brown to that next year. Very good stuff, man. Hadn't thought about it, but very, very good stuff.
Yeah, I wish there was a list out there of Saban's. I don't know who he might have beat earlier in his career.
Well, he beat Urban Meyer when he was at Florida. He certainly beat Les Miles. He beat Jimbo last year.
Gene Chizik.
He beat Gene Chizik.
And he beat Dabo.
He beat Steve Spurrier, obviously, and he did beat Dabo. Did he ever beat Stoops or Bowden? I don't think so. That's six of them. I have to go back and look and see, but that's an interesting list. Number nine coming next year, Chapel Hill.
That's right. One more thing, and I'll get off of here. I know a lot of people are upset about Notre Dame not having to play in a championship game this year, and they're automatically locked into the playoff, it appears. This year, they benefited from not having to play a conference championship game. But in future years, it might be with the shoe on the other foot. Let's say that Notre Dame slipped up and they lost a game this year and they were sitting there at 11-1, then they would be kind of on the outside looking in when you have Ohio State and Oklahoma both playing a championship game. That could be the Trump factor right there. That will put them over. You know, with all things being equal, if everyone had one loss, then they look at conference champions. On the other side of it, if Oklahoma or Ohio State came in undefeated, and let's say we had five undefeated teams right now and they're both playing for a championship, it would seem that Notre Dame would be the one who would be left out because they don't have a championship.
I would agree with you, Orange and Wright. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If Notre Dame did have one loss this year, then I would feel pretty confident that Oklahoma would be ahead of them with one loss after this week, and that Ohio State would be ahead of them with one loss. One of the things we've lost in this is that losses matter. And we go back to last year, the reason that Alabama got in is they had one fewer loss than Oklahoma than Ohio State. And if losses are – you know, the same, and if there's not a whole lot of head-to-head in there, then conference championships would play a bigger role. So, yes, while Notre Dame benefits this year, no doubt about it, some of those years in the past and maybe some of the years in the future, not having a conference championship and a one-loss non-conference team certainly is going to pay a price for it. So you live by it and you die by it. I think you make a really good point.
Yep. I just want to say go Tigers. Let's get that next ACC championship. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Orange and Wright. Have a great weekend as well. Appreciate you calling in. Eventually, we still have to figure this thing out. Hey, Mr. Or24, do I have you now? Hope I do. Might be on the telephone.
I'm back.
Have you seen this Dan Wolken thing? I think it's Dan Wolken talks about it, about doing away with the conference championships and just playing the quarterfinals this week, the top eight teams this week. Have you seen this plan?
No, I haven't seen this ridiculous plan.
I think it is ridiculous. He says that conference championships are dinosaurs. I mean, look, not all conference championships are the same. This week, obviously, Alabama and Georgia is tougher and more significant than the Pac-12 championship game, than the Big 12 championship game, than the Big 10 championship game, and then the ACC championship game. Certainly, that's the case. So I do get that argument that this weekend it would be more interesting if one played eight and two played seven, three played six and four played five, then we see them in the conference championship games. I'm not interested in Pittsburgh. I'm not interested in Utah and Washington. I'm not interested in Northwestern this time of year, except for, you know, the upset part of it. With that said, I don't understand how you determine a conference champion if the two teams have identical records and don't play each other. So in the hypothetical scenario, let's say you do this in 2019, what if Georgia and what if Alabama have the same amount of losses last year, win their division, but have the same amount of losses? How do you determine, and they don't play each other, how do you determine who the conference champion is? Do we do co-champions again like we did in conferences before you had conference championship games every once in a while? Is that what you want to do?
You do co-champions. Do you continue to defer to the human element in this committee and and try to feel like, you know, eye test it? Is that what we're going towards? Is that what he wants?
Hey, he wants the top eight teams.
Eight's too much.
But no, what he's saying here, here's the plan for you. What he's saying here is that eight, you know, the instead of a conference championship, he's going to have eight teams, and they start this week. So, in other words, you play the same amount of games. Clemson this week will be playing Michigan or Central Florida instead of playing Pittsburgh this week. And then you go to the semifinals on the 29th and the finals on the 7th. So it's not more games, mm-hmm. but you're just – in other words, you're not playing Pittsburgh. You're playing, a you know, to move on out of that. It makes some sense, but I still want to know how you're going to determine a conference championship. One of my pet peeves to all this is we have done away with the importance of a conference champion. We do this in baseball. We do this in basketball. You know, and I know things change, Zach, but, man, when I was a kid, the idea of cutting down the nets at the ACC basketball tournament, man, that was a huge deal. Now, remember, the first part of my life, you had to win the ACC championship to get in to the NCAA basketball tournament. But you know, what happens now is you win this conference basketball championship, which Clemson's never won before. Never won before. So it'd be a big deal for us. But you never won it before, and so nobody's excited about that because – as soon as you win, then the NCAA selection show comes on, and all you care about is your seeding and where you're going. I don't know, man. To me, I want to celebrate championships, and I want to make sure that your conference championship, there is value in it. And I think a 16 playoff with all five major conferences, the championship winning, the number two, you know, one and two teams getting a bye, three playing six and four playing five, to me, makes an awful lot of sense. And that way, all conference championships then become extremely important. Now, the offside of it is, yeah, you might get a Pittsburgh winning. You might, you know, a Utah or a Washington would get in. But that's what we see in basketball tournament. That's what we see in the NFL. You win your division in the NFL, and you're getting in despite being 8-8 if you have to do it that way. So I don't have a problem with it, man. It adds so much more importance to winning your division. Then it adds so much importance to winning your conference. Remember, we have seen teams in the college football playoff, even a team that won the national championship last year, that didn't win their division and that didn't win their conference championship. So it's a process to go through. And I think you should be able to have to win that in order to get those. Agree or not?
I agree wholeheartedly. You have to go through the process. It just makes too much sense to do that, doesn't it?
To me, it does. To me, it does. Hey, final thought here before we get to Josh Williams. We got some Josh at 725, Scott Reimer at 745, our Jinx Inc. Realty Hunting and Fishing Report at 805 this morning. Final thought here on this segment is that next year, and Orange and Wright talked about it, Mac Brown's going to be facing Clemson in Chapel Hill next year, and Mac Brown will be facing Will Muschamp in Charlotte next year. Interesting. Remember, Will Muschamp worked for Mac Brown at Texas, and those two teams will be facing up in Charlotte next year. The trip to Chapel Hill means another new coach. Georgia Tech's going to have a new coach. Don't know who that is yet, but that will happen. And coming to Clemson next year, there is a thought, a theory that is placed out there that Clemson and Georgia Tech would open the season next year on the ACC network. And then finally, the Tigers go to Louisville next year and will face a new head coach there, maybe Scott Satterfield at App State. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. No Petrino, no Larry Fedora, no Paul Johnson. No, those are three pretty polarizing figures. Those guys are gone. But with the Clemson football season next year, we'll have three brand-new coaches, at least three brand-new coaches on the sidelines next year. I'm still hoping that there'll be a new coach on the sidelines at Syracuse. I think Dino Babers deserves a bigger job out there somewhere. All right. I want to tell you about our friends at Harbin Lumber. Harbin Lumber, remember the number, 353-5053. Get in touch with Harbin Lumber. Anything you need from a full-service lumber yard for over 100 years has been doing it and doing it right, treating people right, getting you all your interior products, all your exterior products, all of your installed services. Let them take care of you. It is our wonderful – friends at Harbin Lumber. Full service lumber yard, every single delivery in full, on time, every single time. Let them help you manage your time. Let them help you manage your money. More efficient with both. You're going to love Harbin Lumber if you're an upstate builder, remodeler, or handyman. It's harbinlumber.com. When we come back, we'll see what the sharp money looks like. We'll see what the ticket count looks like with the Pac-12 championship game, with the Big Ten championship game, with the SEC championship game, with the Big Ten championship game, and the ACC championship game. Also, Josh will give us a end-of-the-season polling tend and tidbit as well when you return to Chick-fil-A of Clemson on a College Football Friday after this.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
It's the ACC Championship as the Tigers head to Charlotte for a shot at another conference title. Join us this afternoon at George Coleman Ford for Football Talk and Papa John's Pizza. Road Rage live on the road today. George Coleman Ford, Travelers Rest.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
The Thompson & King Law Firm, 222-0200, or online at thompsonking.com.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2734. 800-506-2734. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-506-2734.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like select wine on Wednesday for $10, $15, and $20. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
It's your daughter's graduation party, but you're not sure what to serve your family and friends? Don't worry, Tom's Barbecue has your back. Tom's Barbecue serves hundreds of catered events and knows what the people want. Good food. Brock here, owner of Tom's Barbecue with my wife Beth, and we understand the value of a great catered event. Whether it is a graduation party, wedding, company event, or birthday celebration, you name it, we can cater it. Give us a call at 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
The Mickey Flyler Show
on 105.5 The Roar.
What were you thinking?
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
Hey, Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. We are at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on a College Football Friday. I always enjoy my time with Dr. Ish Patel and learning much, much more about what he does and how he does it. And Crute LED wants to be there for you. If you are a business owner, if you're in charge of an office manager, if you have a small business, think about Crute LED. These folks are able to save you money. They're able to save you money with your power bill. They're able to save you money with your lights. Your LED lights in your office is going to be better for your customers, better for your employees, safer. The humming stuff goes away, better lit for the eyes of everybody there. Your parking lots will be safer, better well lit. Your signs will be better well lit. And you're going to do it at a really cool deal here because you get an upfront rebate through Crute LED. And on top of that, your power bills are going to be lower every month. Look, there's no reason not to. Their expertise is another great deal for contractors, for facility managers. Choose Crute LED. Sales at Crute-LED.com. That's K-R-U-T. Sales at Crute-LED.com. Or call them at 401-8506. 864-401-8506. 7:25 on a Friday means our good friend Josh Williams. Oh, you know what else it means on a Friday?
What's that?
It means we got a little non-shout-out to do.
Listen, we don't do shout-outs on the show.
Right.
We don't do them. We won't do them. But for people that text in every day and that make us laugh on a consistent basis, that bring us hilarious mugs to the kickoff shows in August, we will do these things because text messenger extraordinaire, his daughter is 16 today, Mickey Plyler, Miss Darby Lynn. So a happy birthday to Darby out there. Hope she enjoys her day. Your dad's getting you a car today. Congratulations.
Yes.
So that's it's a big day for you. And enjoy it. Drive safe. And happy, 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 happy birthday.
Look, the great thing about Sweet 16 is you do get cars. That's great.
Brand new car. It's going to be great.
Yeah. A Maserati is going to be awesome. Happy birthday. Many, 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 many more for Text Message Extraordinaire and that deal. And I guess since she's 16 now, he gets a shotgun for...
That's true. Also the shotgun, yes.
Yeah. So get that for sure. Happy birthday, many more. Our friend Josh Williams joins us. We're going to talk a little college football odds and Vegas insiders and ticket counts and sharp money. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Man, we are fantastic. We're blessed. We're getting ready for some from action. And it all starts tonight, by the way. We don't have to wait till tomorrow for playoff games or for conference championship games. Washington and Utah. Washington gets in by beating Washington State on the road last week in a snowstorm. It started out as about a 3-point spread, up to anywhere to 5 to 5.5. From 43, it went up to about 45. What do I need to know about the Pac-12 championship game tonight?
Yeah, you know, kind of predictably, after their performance last week, Washington has definitely gotten the love here. They've gotten 2/3 of the action in terms of ticket count, but they've gotten basically 3/4 of the money. So the sharper side and the more respected side has been Washington so far. That's driven that up past 3 into that area. You know, it's kind of trending towards 6, honestly. And then should see if you get any buyback there. I guess I'm a little surprised. That the point total kind of ticked up a little bit. I mean, these two teams are basically the two defensive-minded teams, so to speak, in the conference, and tend to play a little bit lower scoring games. And their meeting earlier this year, it was just a 21-7 game. So, you know, Washington was obviously the preseason favorite coming in the year. You know, 9-3 with 3 single-digit losses, I think by a total of 10 points. But, you know, they're only 3-9 against the number on the season. And they're actually only 1-7 against the spread as a favorite in their Pac-12 games this year. But that one cover was that 21-7 win against Utah back in September. But the underdog spot is one that Utah has definitely flourished in the last 4.5-5 years. So since 2014, they're 13-5-1. Against the spread in their last 19 games as an underdog that produced 8 outright wins. So I think this will definitely be a closer game than before. You know, Utah's done a good job, even though they lost their quarterback and running back. I think this will be kind of a low-scoring, tight slugfest, looks like.
With Moss out and with Huntley out, not sure what to expect there from Utah. The Big 12 championship game, Texas and Oklahoma, a revenge game tomorrow noon on ABC. Started out at about 5.5, and this has creeped up to about 8 or so. And then that over under 79, Josh. It seems to me that Texas wants to keep that game in the 60s somehow, and boy, Oklahoma wouldn't mind it being up in the 80s somehow. What's the trends for the Big 12 game?
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma, like you said, definitely. Well, they're a dead over team on the year, 10-1-1 to the over in their 12 games. But, you know, Oklahoma's gotten a little under 60% of the total bet count, but they've gotten over 70% of the money. So, again, they've gotten not only the majority of the bets, but they've gotten the larger respective bet that's driven that line up and blew right through that key number of 7. I think kind of playing on the revenge narrative for them, I guess, is the big thing this week. But, you know, Texas has covered 6 in a row against Oklahoma, and they're 9-1-1 in the last 11 times they have been an underdog. And we know Herman's record, and he is 3-0 against the spread in his lifetime against Oklahoma. That's produced 2 outright W's there. Going against that revenge narrative, and in the last 24 times in Power 5 cases where you've got a rematch from a regular season meeting happening in the championship game, the team that won the regular season meeting is actually 15-9 straight up in that rematch. That kind of goes against the narrative that it's hard to beat a team twice. But I mean, I think it kind of definitely favors Oklahoma in this one. But I think this is going to be a pretty chippy game tomorrow from the comments and stuff has been throughout the week.
Yeah, these teams don't like each other. Red River Rivalry Part 2. Different venue. We'll see what comes out of that. SEC tomorrow. I'm not sure that anybody Vegas can put a big enough line on Alabama. Started out at 10.5. We're up to 13.5 by some books. And as it correlates, the over-under from 61.5 up to about 64.
Yeah, this I think this thing's going to have to get above 14, maybe even 14.5. I know the public will get a hold of it tomorrow and still bet Alabama. I think it's going to have to get above that 14 number for there to be any kind of buyback on Georgia, to be honest. So, I mean, as expected, you know, so far, Bama's gotten basically 3-1, almost 4-1 in total ticket count and money. You know, Georgia is 4-0 against the number in their last 4. As an underdog, that is 3 outright wins there, with the only loss actually being in the championship game last year where they covered the 3.5. You know, that point total is a little higher than normal that you see for a SEC game, but you think about the meeting last year, I think it ended up 26-23 in overtime, and obviously Alabama didn't even score in the second half. And obviously we know Alabama's offense is better. I would venture to say that both of these defenses are probably a step back from where they were last year, so I think that point total kind of makes sense. But if you're a Georgia fan, I think you want to see that running game try to eat the clock and play a little keep away tomorrow. Interestingly enough, the last time that Alabama has actually lost to a team from the SEC East, you have to go all the way back to 2010 with that loss to South Carolina.
I didn't realize that. 2010. I learned something every single time. Scored in the first half, by the way, for last year for the national championship game. In the Big Ten, Ohio State gets in by pounding Michigan. That number has gone from 13 up to about 14.5, even 15 now I'm seeing in one spot. And the over-under been pretty steady, 60 to 61 all week.
Yeah, this is definitely playing on the narrative that Ohio State obviously hasn't looked impressive in any game this year until last week, and now we're kind of expecting them to kind of go and try to make another statement to convince the committee. So, predictably, they've gotten basically almost 80% of the ticket count and money. That's driven that up 314. Obviously, most books are hitting 15 now. I really don't know if you'll get any buyback on Northwestern in that one. They have been very good in the underdog role, and they see it quite frequently. They're 12-3 against the number with 9 outright wins in their last 15 as an underdog. And in their last 11 games when they're a double-digit dog, they're 10-1 against the number with 7 outright wins. And even further, in their last 7 Big Ten conference games when they're a dog, they're 7-0 against the number with 6 outright wins. That includes 2 more wins as a double-digit dog. So obviously they want to kind of muck this up, make it an ugly game, lower scoring. So interesting to see if Ohio State can put 2 complete performances together in a row.
Hadn't done that all year, but easier to do it now that you're rolling, and easier to do it with championship game in focus. In the ACC championship game, Clemson started out about 23.5. They're a lot, much like Alabama. I'm not sure you can have a big enough line in some of these. It has gone up to 27.5. I'm looking at one this morning at 28 right now. But surprisingly, on the other end, you don't see this often, but as the point spread goes up, the over-under goes down from 54.5 down to about 52.5. Weather maybe a little bit to do with that too, but kind of rare that you see it go up by 4 points, even 4.5 points throughout the week, but yet the over-under goes down.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's gotten basically 70% of the action, but over 80% of the money. So the respected money and the larger bets are definitely on Clemson in this one that has driven that lineup all week. I'm a little surprised it hasn't hit that 28 yet, but I think it definitely will. If not tonight, it probably will tomorrow. You know, some of that point total downward trend, I think, probably comes a little bit on the heels of what Pitt did last week. You know, they're top 10 in the country, averaging 5.8 yards per rush, but last week they only produced 69 rushing yards on 38 carries. And in a sense, if you can make them throw, you know, they went outside the top 100 in adjusted sack rate. You know, they've allowed 28 on the year, so that's a little over 2 a game, which is outside the top 75 in the country. So that's definitely a matchup that Clemson would like there to make them one-dimensional and make them hard to throw and throw off some of those misdirections and play-action passes. And, you know, we talked about this spread a little bit last week. You know, it's up to 27.5, so it's the second largest in ACC championship history to the Florida State 2013 game against Duke when they were a 30-point favorite and actually covered that spread. So including that game, there have been 5 conference championship games where there has been a spread of 24-plus points. Those teams that are favored are not only obviously 5-0 straight up, but they're 4-1 against the number. And the 4 teams that covered all won by 31-plus. So I don't think you can make this number high enough to get any pit action on this one.
Seems to be the case for Alabama and Clemson throughout most of this season. Finally, J-Dub, you're going to leave us with the end of the season polling trend or tidbit?
Yeah, you hit on earlier in the week how the kind of the misses in the preseason poll with how many of those teams ended up with 5-plus losses and almost dropped out of the rankings. So this is the 9th consecutive year that you've had a preseason AP top 10 team that finished with at least 5 losses. This year there were 3, you know, in Wisconsin, Miami, and Auburn. And then you had those other misses in Michigan State, Stanford, USC, TCU, Virginia Tech, Florida State that also lost 5-plus in that 10 to 20 range that fell out of the polls. And in the last 5 years, since 2010, there's been 14 AP preseason top 10 teams that were finished the season unranked and had at least 5 losses. And there's only one guy that's done it twice, and that would be the Gus Bus down at Auburn. He did it this year, obviously, was number 9 preseason, finished 7-5, and also in 2015 when he started out preseason number 6. And finished 7-6.
Good stuff as usual. Didn't realize that Alabama hadn't lost the SEC East since 2010, and in this ACC championship game, 24 more point favorites, 5-0, straight up 4-1 against the spread. Hopefully that'll be the case tomorrow night. J-Dub, let's visit next week if we can. Talk about some of the your thoughts on the playoffs, your thoughts on some of the lines, early lines for the playoffs and bowl games. Always look forward to it, man. Can't thank you enough, buddy.
Sound good. You guys have a good weekend.
That's our good friend Josh Williams, J-Dub, little Vegas insider. Hey, I want to do this now. This is a as I look out and see in the rain right now, not a great time to get out here and play locally, but I always watch the weather down at Hilton Head as well, and they're having an unbelievable fall forecast and even December forecast with some warm weather. I had an interesting Palmetto Dunes email sent to me yesterday. My friend Martin said that they have this new Tempo Walk, state-of-the-art wireless technology, GPS yardage system, and hand-free remote to easily move around the course. And it comes with a lithium battery. It's a lightweight deal that for those that like exercise and golf, there's the state-of-the-art. It's a golf cart produced by a club car. It's really cool. So you get any of the the multi-pasture stuff they have there. They've got the bigger golf carts, the foursome golf carts, and you can walk all that kind of stuff. The Tempo Walk is another innovative. It goes about 7 miles an hour, weighs about 95 pounds. It's another great innovative thing they have there. You know, Palmetto Dunes is always on the cutting edge, always giving you different things to do and different ways to enjoy your golf rounds. And they do it from a teaching, they do it from a technology standpoint. To find out more, go to Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com. It's Palmetto Dunes, the award-winning. That's how you win awards in resorts. You just stay ahead of the curve, man. You just go out and you continue to stay ahead of that curve. In our Palmetto Golf Report today, from the Hero Challenge going on down in New Providence in the Bahamas, we had only one local player with Dustin Johnson, but it was good news for him. Dustin shot 68 yesterday. The Myrtle Beach, South Carolina native now, is tied for third. He's three shots back of Patrick Cantlay and Patrick Reed. So going off earlier this afternoon, Dustin Johnson trying to improve on that third place, tied for third finish right now. So far with a 68 yesterday, 4 under par. Check all that out on the Golf Channel today. And when we come on Monday, we'll tell you how Dustin did and also have some more college golf stats for you with our Palmetto Dunes report, Palmetto Golf Report. Get in touch with the great friends there. Find out more about this Tempo Walk and about other really more innovative ways to enjoy your golf at Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com, the beautiful oceanfront resort in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. We'll take our break. We'll come back. Scott Reimer is going to join us from the Tiger Pregame Show. Scott is going to host the 212th consecutive edition of the Tiger Pregame Show. We'll tell you a preview of that when you come back for more of Chick-fil-A of Clemson right after this.
Hey, students. Still looking for the perfect place to call home this fall? The University Cottages at Ingalls Crossing offer students moderate and simple living just 2.5 miles from Clemson University. Each cottage is perfectly designed for two, with 2 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, and includes Wi-Fi and washer and dryer. This outstanding community also offers top-notch amenities for residents like a resort-style pool, community clubhouse, and even a dog park. Call Tiger Properties today at 654-RENT for more information on this exceptional student living community. That's 864-654-RENT.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked geese rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
Have you noticed the construction next to Hendrick Honda Easley? That's because they're expanding. Thanks to their amazing family of clients, the demand for Hondas continues to increase. They have the make, model, and color you want. Always in stock and ready to test drive for our customers. The 2019 Hondas are arriving. Experience the world-class difference at Hendrick Honda Easley. Check out their vast inventory at ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com. That's ilovehendrickhondaeasley.com.
Holiday season is approaching and Black Smokehouse and Seneca is here to hook you up with the best smoked meats, sides, desserts, and beverages for your holiday party, family gathering, work event, or celebration. Take the stress out of planning and call Black Smokehouse. Let them host your party with seating for up to 60 people. Host in-house or get a catering package to go. Call 784-4599 to book your party. Again, that's 784-4599 and online at blacksmokehouse.com. Go Tigers!
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson, Clemson's first condo hotel. Now under construction, Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want and rent it when you're away. It's that easy. With top-notch amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, and lake access, Lakeside Lodge will provide the ultimate Clemson experience. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday.
Out of Bounds is hitting the road and heading to Easley. We will be broadcasting live from Toyota of Easley on November 30th. There'll be plenty of football to talk about with conference games and playoff action, and of course, Clemson basketball too. We'll have Papa John's pizza and some giveaways, great deals on cars in time for the holiday travel. Join us November 30th at Toyota of Easley, 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley for Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
When you're serious about baseball, you need to trust First Team Sports. That's where you'll find Rapsodo, baseball bat technology that shows you exit velocity, launch angle, and direction of your hit right at your fingertips. There's an in-cage television that shows each hit so you can try them all to find the bat that's just right for you. Consider First Team Sports your bat-fitting specialists. They'll be your secret weapon when you step in the box. And it takes the guesswork out of Christmas buying. First Team Sports, 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Hit in the backfield, fumbles the ball, and it's scooped up. Pinckney comes away with it. I think he caused the fumble, and he also picks it up.
We are WCCP, 105.5 The Roar.
Hey, Mr. Orr 24, I got to tell you, man, today is one of those days that just feels like you need to crawl back in the old sack, you know, just kind of get back and enjoy a nice long nap. Well, at my house, naps are great because we have Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com. I am waiting to hear from my one professor friend who ordered his last week. I know they've got theirs in, or I think they've got theirs in, and I'm looking forward to hearing how they've liked theirs. Meredith's friends, they got theirs in. We've got so many of our listeners that are doing, some of our friends, some of our family friends are doing this now, and so keep sending me all the information about Engineer Sleep and your bed, your mattresses, if you're enjoying those. And here's the thing I tell you. If you don't like it, they're going to still fix it. I mean, so if you get it in there and go, you know what, it's too firm, it's too soft, we didn't like how this worked out, they'll come and they'll fix it. Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com, Congaree Road over in Greenville. Cut out the middleman. Get a custom-made mattress just for you for a great price. The 212th consecutive edition of the Tiger Pregame Show will be hosted tomorrow by Mr. Scott Reimer, and the road to Santa Clara begins with the Tiger Pregame Show, and tomorrow, Tiger's playing for another championship, the ACC Championship. Good morning, Scott Reimer. How you doing this morning?
Mick, I'm doing great. You're right. Looking for 4 in a row. Hard to believe when it seemed like we never could get over that dang mountain. And then finally got over it, I guess, back in 2011, I believe, when we beat Virginia Tech down there at Bank of America. And it was like, wow, you know, we can do it. And then now we're trying to punch our 4th in a row. And that's just amazing. It's a great testament to these seniors and to this football program. And I'm excited to say, as you mentioned, we'll be having our 212th edition. We're going to broadcast. Kelly and I will be in Charlotte, and we'll broadcast from the Clemson family tailgate along with the Clemson Alumni Association. In fact, a good friend, Bubba Britton, I spoke to him a little bit last night at a toy drive for the Greenville Clemson Club, and they're excited. They got a big plans for this tomorrow, and it's at Draft. It's the same place we've been at, Mick, for I guess the last 2 or 3 years, right there in the shadows of Bank of America Stadium, on the other side of the stadium that Mint Street is. So a lot of Clemson fans park around the Mint Street area, but Draft, so just a maybe quarter-mile walk from there on the other side of the stadium. Literally, I could hit a 3-wood into the stadium. You could probably get a 7-iron in there because you're big off the tee, but it takes me a 3-wood to hit into the stadium from there.
Pitching wedge for me. Total pitching wedge. By the way, D-R-A-U-G-H-T, right? D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
That's right. Yeah, and yeah, I called it for the first year draught, I think, when and was quickly corrected on that. But yes, draft spelled D-R-A-U-G-H-T. If you go to the Tiger pregame show and Twitter feed, I've got links to it. You can, you know, addresses and all that good stuff. We'll be on tomorrow from 2 to 5. The Alumni Association event officially begins at 4, but the place is going to be open. So come on in, get your table staked out, and it'll be full of Clemson fans, and we're going to watch a little Alabama-Georgia on the TV and see all of that and all the games that are going on and get ready for Clemson and Pitt.
Well, with the rain, too, you know, a lot of people like tailgating. You can tailgate inside and stay dry and see good football with a championship game. So, yeah, get there early tomorrow. Clemson tries to win their 18th ACC championship. Scott, going back to the South Carolina game, some of your lasting memories of Clemson beating South Carolina for the fifth consecutive year?
We beat South Carolina. That to me is the memory. I don't take that for granted. I mean, there was a time maybe when I did back in the – the 80s, even though they beat us a couple times in the 80s. But, you know, look, I know this rivalry is whatever it is, 70 and 42 or whatever, but I've yet to find a day where I haven't enjoyed beating the Gamecocks. And, you know, there were obviously some concerns. All of those were talked about this week ad nauseum, and we'll talk about how maybe that will play forward to Pitt. But Mick, if I ever walk out of Death Valley or Williams-Brice Stadium – and I don't feel good about beating the Gamecocks, you just might as well put me out to pasture at that moment.
I'm with you, man. I am with you, and nice to see it. Obviously, a little bit of concern coming from the defensive side. Any of those lasting concerns happen this weekend, or will you postpone those concerns to maybe a better passing offense? Pittsburgh won't test the Tigers tomorrow. What are the thoughts heading into it and Brent Venables getting the defense back on track?
Well, I think we'll see this week and maybe even December 29th, Mick. I don't know. I mean, a lot of that's matchup. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Notre Dame? You know, is it going to be Oklahoma or somebody like that or Alabama? I mean, there's a lot of variables on the 29th as to who you would play, so it's hard to look forward. But if you remember back to the A&M game, Mick, and a lot of this talk happened after that, right? We went on and on and on about it. And then you saw, you know, Clemson kind of correct that. Now, again, a lot of that is the quality of play. But, look, you can't tell me that Jake Bentley is any better of a quarterback than, let's say, Ryan Finley. But Clemson did not give up that type of yardage to NC State. It was a bad day defensively. I thought it was, as much as it was a bad day for Clemson defensively, I thought it was a great game plan for South Carolina. And I thought Bentley played an amazing game. And we talked last Friday, how can South Carolina win? And I said the only way is that Bentley play out of his mind. Well, he did. He played out of his mind good, and it still wasn't enough. There are issues in the secondary, but some of it's correctable. And a lot of what happened at Texas A&M and a lot of what happened last week against South Carolina is correctable. But that is the weakness of the defense, Mick. The secondary is the weakness of the defense. And when Clemson plays a team that can throw the football very well, and certainly Alabama's one of those teams, Georgia would be that, Oklahoma would be that. I don't know about Notre Dame and Ohio State, and I don't know if they can throw it that great or not. But Clemson's going to have a tough matchup when we get to that point, if we get to that point against those teams. But the flip side of it is, Mick, this is an offense that can, if need be, can outscore people. And I think that's the thing that you can't let go when you look at, you know, moving forward, and that goes for tomorrow against Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh may score some points. Who knows? You know, block punts and kickoff returns. There's a lot of things, and of course, it may just drive and score some points. But until somebody can slow Clemson down offensively, Clemson's going to be in every football game, no matter who they play, and that would include an Alabama or whomever. So, yes, there's concerns, but every team has. I mean, Alabama has concerns. I know people don't believe they do, but they do. Georgia has concerns. There's not a team that you can say that their coaching staff or their fan base is going, we're perfect at all 22 positions. There's not a team in the country that can say that. And Clemson's weakness is the secondary. But some of what we saw last week can be corrected.
on the other side of it, this offense is balanced. This offense has shown us some record-breaking numbers, both through the air and on the ground at different times in different weeks. It's almost as if people are choosing their poison. Tomorrow in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, Scott, can you see Pittsburgh trying to take away the run, take away the pass? Can they take away either one? Again, you're trying to pick your poison when you're facing this potent offense.
Yeah, picking your poison. I think Clemson's their worst enemy when it comes to that tomorrow. And Clemson hasn't been their worst enemy the past few weeks. Clemson's finally figured out that they're okay being patient running the football. I thought there were some times, and I know the coaches kept saying, well, you know, if you stack the box, you stack the box and all that kind of stuff. I still think you run the football when you do that. And last week, as easy as it was to play pitch and catch, and it was, I mean, Trevor Lawrence could have thrown for 800 yards if that's what the game plan was, right, just to keep throwing the ball. But as easy as the pitch and catch was, Clemson was patient enough to keep running the football. And to me, that's the long-term way to win a national championship, is to be able to consistently run the ball. So Pittsburgh's not going to consistently stop Clemson. Clemson might consistently stop Clemson by not running the ball and making poor decisions, throwing the ball and dropping it, and we saw a little bit of that against Duke. But no, I don't foresee Pittsburgh putting up much of a long-term four-quarter defense against this offense. It's just too difficult to defend with Trevor throwing the football. And by the way, a lot of accolades for him this week as well, very well deserved. But when you've got the player of the year in the ACC at running back, give him the football, and if you need to. And I think that's the recipe that Clemson can do. They can throw it, they can run it, and it's very difficult to stop.
In this time of year, we have wackadoo season. By the way, no Paul Johnson in the future, so we're going to use wackadoo season now. I know, man. I feel bad for you about that.
I don't know. I've got to – well, maybe they'll hire somebody that runs like the spread, widespread or something. I'll come up with some other name. I'm going to miss the wackadoo offense, that's for sure. But go ahead with your question.
But we do have goofy season, hiring season. Clemson doesn't have to worry about Texas Tech. They've hired and didn't hire Brent Venables. They hired somebody else. But there's distractions out there. There's awards out there. There's coaches and coaching staffs going in different directions and hirings. There's guys thinking about going to the NFL early. A lot of distractions out there. Scott, is this team mature enough? Is the senior leadership on this team strong enough to avoid some of the pitfalls that human nature could see as a distraction?
I think so for two reasons. Number one, you mentioned the age the experience and the age of this team. It's just a veteran group. The other thing is, the Gamecocks probably did Clemson a little bit of a favor, at least for this week. I don't think this will carry on to the playoffs, but I do think if there was ever an opportunity to say, okay, you're a 20 whatever we are, 25 point favorite over Pitt or whatever it is, if there was ever that moment of getting distracted and looking ahead and all that kind of stuff, I think the way the game went last week kind of recenters all that. And I think defensively there's a lot to prove, a lot of chips on the shoulder, if you will. So to me, that creates a scenario where Clemson, I think, is going to play very well, very good defensively. There are a lot of distractions, but there's just about every team has similar ones to make, and that's the thing. And this coach, you know, we saw it last year or a couple of years ago when Kirby Smart was taking the Georgia job and Alabama was playing in the playoffs. I mean, all this stuff happens, and it's going to happen. Some of that's going to happen this year as well. But to me, I think it comes down to the players on the team and the experience. You know, this will be Clemson's potentially fourth ACC championship in a row and fourth trip to the playoffs. You can't buy that kind of experience. And they understand, they've been on all sides of it. They've been on the winning side of it. They've been on the losing in the title side of it. They've been on the losing in the first round of it. They've been on every part of this thing in the playoffs. To me, I just don't see that being – I don't think we're going to talk in January or whatever about, well, I just think Clemson was distracted and that's why they lost. I would be stunned if that happened at any point the rest of this year.
All right, tell us about it. It's the 112th consecutive edition. What time, where? I know folks would love to stop by and see you guys tomorrow for the Tiger pregame show.
Well, you've been so good, Mick, and I think you just slipped because you said 112. You've been so good this year, but now I've got a great. I got to lower your grade now because you said 112. It's 212. I tell you, Mick, you know, you go all season long and you're perfect, and then you screw it up at the end. And so, That's all right, my friend. 212 tomorrow at Draft, a restaurant and pub, I think is what they call it. But it's right there north of the stadium, just a quarter of a mile from the stadium. It's got a nice walking path to the stadium. It'll be full of Clemson fans. The Clemson Alumni Association will be there. Of course, the Tiger pregame show will be there. Also, the Tiger tailgate show will be there immediately following us at 5 o'clock. We're on from 2 to 5, but we'll be there before that. So come on by and see us. It's a great place to get out of the rain, watch a little football, get a little food, and be around a bunch of Clemson Tiger fans and get a lot of free gear. You know, Clemson Alumni Association will give out a lot of free gear too. So come on by and see us there tomorrow. And of course, stream us as you come to Charlotte on the WCCP app. And we'll have it all for you from 2 to 5 tomorrow as we try to win four in a row.
Looking forward to it. Number 212, Scott Reimer. Thanks, man. Hey, let's talk. Let's make arrangements about talking the next couple of weeks too.
I'd love to do it. We'll do it. And we'll see you December 29th in the playoffs, Mick.
All right, sounds good, bud. Have a great weekend. Be safe in your travels. Hour number 3 right after this.
From the Priority One Security Studios, we are